in the last message I talked about, you might remember, was a sort of a funny title. It was called The Foolishness of the Gospel. Well, this whole passage talks a little bit about foolishness. And what the world calls foolishness, God calls wisdom. And what the world calls wisdom, God calls foolishness. So there's a little bit of a disagreement, and I think I'm going to stand on the side of God on this one. Well, we talked about verse 18, and the first part of verse 18 was the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But this time, we're going to talk about the power of the gospel because it comes from the second part of that verse 18. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. And last time we looked at, we examined different kinds of ideas of wisdom. It was talking here in this passage about, in verse 22, Jews demand miraculous signs and Greeks look for wisdom. So last time we talked a lot about philosophies and the ideas of wisdom, of man's ideas of wisdom and how they really don't meet the need of man. Well, this time we're going to look at the Jewish sign seekers, those who were looking for miraculous power. Now, there was a man named Dan Wakefield who was actually a New Age writer, and he wrote an article called In Search of Miracles. In Search of Miracles. And here's what he wrote. He says, we have moved from death to God theology, because there was popular the idea of God is dead. There was a death of God theology back in the 70s or early 60s and 70s. We have moved from death of God theology to intense interest in the supernatural. And then he goes on in his article to talk about the New Age thinking as a desire for belief in some power in the universe beyond the box of conventional mainstream religion. Well, New Agers have a big problem. The God of the universe, this is the problem, the God of the universe has invested his personal power in a conventional box called the gospel. And he's put it in a box. It's like he's limiting it. He's putting it in a box. He's saying, this is it. It's not out there. It's right here. And so he's putting it in a conventional box called the gospel so that by the message of the gospel, he could transform sinners into saints. That's his objective in the gospel, to transform sinners into saints. And that's why he has invested his personal power in the gospel. And that's why we're calling this message the power of the gospel. Because sinners who trust in their own ideas and their own wisdom or are looking for a kind of a power or miraculous sign that will titillate their, you know, their emotions or what, that will not change them. They remain sinners. Even if they have those kinds of things, they still remain sinners. They'll die sinners. But ultimately, what we're looking for is what God has as his power. He's done this in the gospel. So, in the sense that, why does God hide himself from sinners? This is the question. Why does God hide himself from sinners' wisdom? Why can't they figure out God with their wisdom? God will not let them do that. He hides himself from it. This is what this verse in 21, verse 21 says. It says, for since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him. It is God's wisdom that the world can't figure him out in their own wisdom. And in the world, man's wisdom asks a question. Well, why doesn't God just show up? Why doesn't God just show up and show us these things, you know? So God wisely hides himself from sinners' knowledge and wisdom. And why does he do that? Well, he does that when the pride of knowledge, when their pride of knowledge blinds them. And you know, we always say pride blinds. Pride blinds people. Well, the pride of knowledge blinds sinners. When they believe in their knowledge, it blinds them from seeing the truth. God will not let them succeed spiritually. He will not let them succeed spiritually based on the vanity of their own wisdom. He will not let it happen. So they can seek spiritual things through this knowledge that they have or this power that they have, but they can't really get it. They can't get the real spiritual change in their lives that they need. And he also hides himself from sinners when their religious knowledge is all about control. They want to have religious knowledge so they'll have power to control other people. And now we've seen this. We've seen this in sometimes spiritual people who even use Christian language and use the Bible, and they get to an elevated level of power and they're gathering in all kinds of money. And you find out this later that they've been using this money to build mansions and go on vacations and stuff like this and have great clothing, you know, and be all dressed up. And you say, well, that's terrible. They got to a great amount of power through their religious knowledge, and it was all about, it was all a scam. Or it was abuse of power. Or religious persecution. I'm right and they're wrong, so let's kill them. And that's what religious persecution is all about. Pride of knowledge. Pride of religious knowledge. Well, that's what man says. If man's wisdom says, why doesn't God just show up? Man's wisdom really doesn't get it. They just haven't got it because God did show up. He did show up. God's wisdom said, I did show up and you crucified me. That's what happens when I show up. You crucify me. Why? Because God's wisdom, they think, is foolishness. So they put it on the cross. And that putting on the cross is God's wisdom. In verse 21 it said, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. What was preached? Christ crucified. Christ crucified. Now, man thinks that God's investment on the cross is foolishness because what it does, it eliminates human effort in salvation. If Jesus died for our sins, then what can I do? I have nothing to do that can save me. He did it all. And that's what they think is foolishness. The law says, do and you will live. But Christ says, I've done it. It is finished. Come unto me. It's totally different. That's why it says that Christ fulfilled the law. The law, do and live, doesn't work anymore for us. We can't do and live. Say, if I just do all this, then I'll have eternal life. No. It doesn't work that way anymore. Why? Because Christ nailed that all to the cross. And now it is only His power of the cross that can bring this new life, this spiritual power. And God, His wisdom is sometimes looked upon as foolishness by the world because it trades the goal of self-fulfillment for the goal of self-denial. And people don't want to have that self-denial. They want to be, I want to have self-fulfillment. Well, Jesus says, come unto me, take up my cross and follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. Self-denial is not what they're looking for. So they call it foolishness. Or they call it foolishness because it makes that the trust in God's plan the threshold of God's blessing. They think they can get God's blessing in various ways. Maybe if they put all their ducks in a row, then God will bless them. All their spiritual ducks in a row. Then, if I get all this right, then God will bless me. That's not it. The cross is the threshold of God's blessing. So what pleases God is not intelligence. It's not our moral effort or our self-achievement. But it's faith in His finished work on the cross. Something when He said, it is finished, it's done, it's a done deal. And that's where our faith should be placed, in that done deal on the cross. In His wisdom, God has invested all of His personal power behind this message, because He wants to use it to transform sinners into saints. It's all about change. It's all about transformation. It's not about gaining authority or gaining position or gaining, you know, prestige. It's all about changing from a sinner into a saint. Now, God sometimes uses miraculous signs, but He's not into that. He's not into this idea, because some people, that's all they're looking for. They're looking for the flashy things. They're looking for something really, wow, the fireworks, you know. They want a miraculous signs. So God lets the sign seekers trip over the cross. Here's what it says in verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews. Now the Jews wanted outward change. And sometimes it was an idea of prestigious outward change according to the law. But at this point in time, they were about political change. But they wanted an outward change, and Jesus was after something else. He wanted the inward heart conversion, that kind of change. They sought for political power, but Jesus was bringing them resurrection power, power of a new life. In Matthew 12, He answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Now, it's true that Jesus was identifying Himself with the sign of Jonah being in the belly of the whale or the belly of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. So He was talking about His resurrection. But there's something about this that's very interesting, because it fits very well into our situation. We also are represented by the sign of Jonah and by the sign of resurrection in the sign of Jonah. It's almost like a little sermonette or a little tiny sermon within itself. And when we were singing this, "Love Lifted Me," I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the Master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. And it fits perfectly. And I didn't choose that song because I had thought about this sermon. It just so happens that happens sometimes. But here we were, like Jonah, running away in our sin from God's will. But we get on a ship, we're sailing away, running away from God's will, and the tempest of the Holy Spirit's wind, the wind of the Spirit, catches up with us. And in our repentance, because now we're caught, in our repentance we have to cast ourselves into the sea of God's grace. Because in the sea of God's grace is a big fish. And it's like the power of the cross swallows us up. And it takes us to where we're supposed to go, and it spits us out. It delivers us to the place where we're to be changed people with a message that will change other people. And that's really what Jonah was doing. And so the sign of Jonah is like a little sermon about us getting the power of God in our lives to change us to be obedient Christians, transform sinners into saints. Well, upon seeing all the miracles Jesus was doing, especially He fed 5,000 people and He raised people from the dead. When the Jews saw that, many of them thought, "Why, here's the Messiah. I mean, what kind of Roman army could fight against an army where all the food supply is always there, and anybody who gets killed is raised up on our army side? I mean, how can you fight an army? It's an invincible army. This Messiah could raise up an army against Rome and defeat Rome. They were looking for what? They were looking for political power. Jesus wanted them to give them the power of a new life, spiritual power, power of a new life that would be nourished by something. What would that new life be nourished by? It would be nourished by what we represent on this table every communion Sunday, and that is what happened on the cross. His sacrifice, and because of His resurrection, then this table that gives us new resurrection life. And so, they didn't like that message. It wasn't the message they wanted to hear. They didn't want to change that way. They wanted political power in the Messiah. They didn't want a Messiah that talked about dying on a cross and being resurrected, but they thought that message was foolishness. But they looked at Jesus, and like this verse in the scripture says, they tripped over Jesus. The idea of the cross was a stumbling block. And you know what that word means? It's a funny word. That it means scandalon. It comes from the Greek word scandalon. It's a scandal. Yeah. Oh, that's a scandal. I can't take that. We saw that in the sermon I preached the last time on the Asian people did not like the cross because they didn't want their leader to have been crucified. No, that's terrible. But that was God's wisdom. God's wisdom. And so they tripped over the stumbling block of the cross. He seemed to be a political weakling. That's what Jesus looked like to them, a political weakling. They didn't want Him. They wanted to eat the Passover, but they did not want to feed their souls upon the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. They didn't want to eat that meal. Cal Thomas was I don't know if he's still living, but Cal Thomas was a columnist, a political columnist, but he was a Christian. And he said this, "For Christians, the vision of worldly power is not a calling, but a distraction. It is a temptation Jesus rejected, not because it was dangerous, but because it was trivial in comparison to His real mission." Political power is trivial compared to the changing of sinners into saints. That's really important because that's forever, and the political power is for temporal time. It'll change. One regime will come, another regime will take that one away. And we often get involved so much in, well, what are they doing in the political realm? What are they doing in the political realm? Well, we might be able to change that with a lot of force, but you know what? The following year, something else may change. That's where we are sometimes wrong. We need to invest in the greater mission. What is the greater mission? To transform sinners into saints. And this is for an eternal destination, eternal destiny. Today, many people are seeking miraculous power. Some are seeking to attain spirituality without a relationship with God. Without a relationship with God, so they just want spirituality, whatever that means to them. They sometimes are seeking to have angelic power. You know, we went through a phase of everybody reading these books on angels, and they were ready to pray to angels. They were ready to try to turn everything over to angel power instead of the power of living a holy life, which is what God's objective. Even His use of angels is to help us in that respect. And they were seeking to gain occult knowledge, the knowledge of the deep things of Satan, because there seems to be power there. And they were not looking for God's truth that brings real spiritual power and real life and prepares our souls for life after death. They're not looking for that. And sometimes they were looking for fortune telling. Fortune tellers and horoscopes. to try to find out their future and give them direction in life, instead of taking the instructions from God's own mouth, His Word. You know, I have to confess that when I was a young kid, in my early teens, I used a Ouija board. I did. I was trying to find out things from the spirit world. And I got into the habit of getting on the ground and putting out the cards for Gong Hi Fat Choi. Have you guys ever heard of Gong Hi Fat Choi? Okay. Gong Hi Fat Choi is a Chinese card thing, almost like tarot cards, where you lay them out and then you find out what you're supposed to be doing for that day. I used to do that until God convicted me of it and I threw them in the fire. And now people, you know, because they were actually based on a little bit on the what do you call it, the zodiac and the cards themselves and the zodiac and what sign you're under and all that kind of thing. And so when people would talk to me and they would say, "Hey David, what's your sign? What's your sign?" Well, my sign is the cross. I was born under the sign of the cross. I was born again under the power of Jesus Christ. Amen. You know, there are signs, and you know that some signs God uses in referring to that bronze serpent that Moses raised up on a pole for Israel to look at for healing from the poisonous snake bite that had happened in their journey in the wilderness. There was an old Jewish writing, and this is not scripture, but it said that Moses complained to God and said, "God, this serpent is a stumbling block to the world. We shouldn't be raising up a serpent. It's a stumbling block to the world." And then in this writing it says that God replied, "Oh no, not at all. It shall be punishment to sinners, and it shall be life to the upright." And you know what? It's interesting because Jesus explained his cross using what Moses had done in the desert with that serpent being raised up. It says in John 3, "Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so will the Son of Man be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life." Because you see, they were bitten by snakes. Jesus took the venom himself. When he died on the cross, he took our self. He was transformed. It said he became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so this is the message of the cross, transforming power, because we're looking to one thing, the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, this message is still a stumbling block to some people. But God blesses faith in Christ with transformation. Anyone who will believe in this will get their lives transformed. And verse 24 says, "But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God." Conversion brings the power of God and the wisdom of God together into one thing. One transforming power, one transforming vehicle to change lives. The human question is, well, how can absolute power, absolute justice and absolute mercy, how can they ever get together? Well, they've already gotten together in the cross of Jesus Christ. It was absolute judgment. Absolute justice was done at the cross, and at the same time, absolute mercy. Ultimate mercy. I mean, how much more mercy than to say, "Your sins are forgiven. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." That's absolute mercy. And yet, all of those sins were paid for. Absolute justice, they're all paid for. They're all taken care of. Justice was done in the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then there's the human problem. There's a human problem. How can we become like the holy God? How can we become like God who is so holy? Well, I can tell you right now, forget human wisdom. Forget self-help programs to get you holy like God. Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me. Come to the cross of Christ. That's where holiness is. That's where the power of transformation is. God invested His personal power in one plan. Just one plan. And then He calls us to respond to that plan with total faith. Full faith. And full faith in what? Faith in Jesus Christ, His Son. There's a nice acrostic called FAITH. F-A-I-T-H. And it's one of the best definitions of faith that you can get. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. And that's it. That's the kind of faith that God wants. That we forsake our own wisdom. We forsake our own seeking after power and miraculous signs. And we seek the transformation that comes in Christ. Forsaking all other things. Only Him is what we're seeking. Now, some call the gospel foolishness because they've never experienced it. They've never experienced their argument is, I've never felt God's power, so what's the big deal? You're always talking about God's power. I've never felt God's power. You know, Spurgeon wrote something that's very interesting. He said, a blind man is no judge of colors. A blind man cannot judge colors. A deaf man is no judge of sound. You know? If you've never seen something, you've never heard something, you're no judge of that. He says, a man who has never been quickened into spiritual life can have no judgment as to spiritual things. What you need is the life. And then you can talk about the realm of the Spirit. And then there are others who say, well, I prayed. I prayed and there were no flashing lights. I didn't see any fireworks. I didn't see any flashing lights. And God didn't give me what I asked for. You know? There are people that say that. Well, these people need to ask an answer. They need to answer another question or a series of questions. And these are the questions. What are you looking for? Are you looking for your will or God's will? Are you looking for your plans or God's plan? What are you really after? Are you after a thrilling experience? Are you after special effects like we have in the movies? I want some special effects with lots of fireworks, you know? Or are you looking for transformation? God's transformational power. If that's what you're looking for, God has it right there for you. God wants to transform us. God doesn't offer us spiritual, peaceful feelings. I just want to have spiritually peaceful feelings. If you get God's power, He's going to disrupt your life presently. Whatever your present life is, He might disrupt it to try to get it changed. That's what He's all about. You say, well, I want to... God doesn't promise spiritual fireworks. I just want to have, exciting experiences. Just gets me going. I just want all those experiences. There are people that are after that. But God doesn't promise that. What He promises us, I will give you my good news, my gospel. I have given you my Son, and I will change your life. I will transform you. So through the cross of Christ, God has invested His personal power for one great purpose, to transform sinners into saints. That's it. And if you want that, then God's ready to give it to you. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for this time that we've had to look at this passage of Scripture a second time, because we looked at it before, and we're looking at it again, and we're seeing what You're really about. And we're so thankful that You want to change us from sinners into saints, to live with You, a holy God, throughout eternity. We're thankful for that. And Lord, we want to be a channel for others to have that knowledge as well. We pray for that too. In Jesus' name, amen.